Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser, intern Robert here with you on this Friday morning. And we welcome in our friend Jared Stillman to the program, as we do every Friday morning at 7 o'clock. Stilly, good morning. How are you?
I am fabulous. How are you two?
We're awesome. Thanks for taking time to be with us. Let's start with the local professional hockey team. They lose 3-0 last night to the Montreal Canadiens, which puts them at 6 losses in a row. They're 7-14-6 on the season. It feels like their season is over on December the 6th. So what do they do now? What's the path forward from here if you're Barry Trotz and the Predators?
I don't know if there's like a path forward that gets them back into the playoffs, which may be the biggest saving grace for the coach, because I think it's almost too late, even if they fire the coach, for it to make much of a difference. Then again, Chicago fired their coach yesterday, and maybe they're thinking they can get into the playoffs. I don't know, but I don't see a lot of answers for the Predators. And I thought in what has been an unbelievably disastrous season, I thought yesterday was the worst loss. And maybe I'm wrong, but Montreal's the worst team in the Eastern Conference. I believe Montreal has like the second worst goal differential in the NHL, though that might have changed yesterday after they went +3 and the Predators didn't score. And I think just given where the Predators are, and I think given where, you know, the way they played the other night, it was like against Toronto, it's like, all right, well, if you're really going to right the ship, you're going to do it against Montreal. And they didn't do it. They didn't score a goal. Their biggest problem, they can't score. So, I mean, I don't know what to even say after last night's loss. I thought that was so bad. I don't even know what they said last night. Robbie, I was so disgusted I couldn't listen to your postgame show.
They didn't say a whole
lot. So I don't even know. I mean, Burnett said, you know, hey, we got to win the week after they lost to Toronto. I don't even know what he said after you lost that game yesterday to Montreal. So, I mean, it's all-time bad. And the thing about the Predators, and I've been saying this now for like 2 or 3 weeks, you know, because Vingans wanted to fire the coach, I can't argue that. Like, there's no argument against firing the coach other than, well, you know, but I think he's a good coach. That's the only thing, like what happened last year and the, well, you know, I think he's a good coach. That's really the only defense given the way the sport works. And with each game that they lose and now it's 6 in a row, it's kind of hard to keep making that argument. But at the same time, again, I don't even know if changing the coach at this point would save the season. We're kind of a little too late in there. We always talk about Thanksgiving as kind of this line of demarcation. Well, what are they, like 0-5 since Thanksgiving? So I don't know where they go from here.
Well, take a stand. I mean, you're always Mr. Take a Stand. Mr. Fire Everybody, Mr. Take a Stand. I mean, should they fire Andrew Burnett or not, Jared? You demand this of other people.
I will take a stand at 2 o'clock today.
Oh, well, yeah.
Today's show, it might be more in the 3 o'clock hour than the 2 o'clock hour. Today's show, I don't know if you guys know, today is the 2-year anniversary.
Oh, I heard.
Of the shocking John Robinson firing. We'll be having a lot of discussions about, is your life better as a Titan fan?
That'll be interesting.
Now than it was 2 years ago?
I think the answer is no.
You know who's better since 2 years ago is the Minnesota Wild. Have you guys noticed that?
I have seen that.
That's weird.
You know,
despite their terrible coach, who Jared thought doesn't know what a hockey puck is.
If I didn't live through that terrible coach coaching a great first half of the season in 2021, and then in 2022 having to say, well, nobody except Joe Rex would expect us to make the playoffs, then I would be all worried about how the Minnesota Wild are doing right now. But we'll have that conversation in April or May. Probably more like April than May.
So the Will Levis part of this, Jared, Brian Callahan threw it out there this week. Feels like 4 games in a row that he's played pretty well and built on his performance. He's got a Jacksonville team and a Jacksonville defense on Sunday that have been horrid so far this year. So an opportunity for a fifth coming up for him. This question, I heard you throw it out there earlier this week. A lot of people have asked us about this, so I'm interested to get your take. How much of the conversation around Levis right now is how well he's played and the validity of that, and how much of it is, well, thank God he's not anywhere near as bad as he was to begin the year, and that's influenced the way we're viewing his play right now?
Probably 50-50. I mean, he has played better, but like the Texan game, everybody was so happy, and I'm like, he threw a pick six. And
that invalidates the rest of the performance? I mean, they won the game.
Yeah, but they didn't, I mean, okay.
Okay. Like, I mean, I don't know. Brett Favre threw a lot of pick sixes. All those games, he sucked in those games?
I thought we've established that he's not Brett Favre.
No one's saying he is Brett Favre. No one is saying he's Brett Favre.
Like Brett Favre thing. We did that at the beginning of the year when he's rolling the ball on the ground. And
I think it's now been
well established. Can't throw for 300 yards in a game, but other than that, he's Brett Favre. I mean, I would just caution.
No one said that.
They're 1-3 in these four games, and the best game, I believe, quarterback rating wise, was the Charger game, the one that people probably think the least of. I actually do think that he played pretty well on Sunday, given the circumstances, because the whole team around him was so bad. See, this is the tough part. Like, this is where, like, the money, you know, this is why they pay general managers money, as opposed to, I think, maybe some of the things that happen around here. But traditionally, they pay the money because it's like, hey, you have to decide with Will Levis, is Will Levis good enough to be a quarterback, but he just doesn't have a right tackle, doesn't have a good enough receiving core, doesn't have a tight end, so if you fix those things, he'll be a good quarterback, or is he still a 1-3 quarterback over those four games, even if you gave him, say, the Commanders team that Jaden Daniels had on Sunday with Terry McLaurin and Zach Ertz and an offensive line, like, at that point, do they win the, like, that's what the GM has to decide, and I don't know which route the Titans are going to go. I would argue no, and I'm fascinated by this week's game, because you talked about how the Jags are horrid and their defense is horrid. Well, guess who else is horrid, Robbie?
The Tennessee Titans.
The Titans are horrid. And on Sunday, the Titans' defense was horrid. And I am fascinated to see Mac Jones against Will Levis, because there aren't a lot of quarterbacks out there, you know, as far as reclamation projects are concerned. And I've always kind of had a little bit of a fancy for Mac Jones, because I feel like Belichick really screwed him up by bringing Matt Patricia in to coach him on offense, which I still to this day do not understand, other than I think Belichick just – Brady won the Super Bowl, and I think that screwed Belichick up of the I have to prove that I can still be smarter than everybody too thing. But I do wonder, like, is Mac Jones a better quarterback than Will Levis? And I'm not sure. And if Mac Jones comes in here and he beats the Titans, he threw for like 250 in half the game against Houston last week. If Mac Jones comes in here and outperforms Will Levis, then don't we have to have the discussion about, like, hey, is Mac Jones better than Will Levis? Is Mac Jones better than Will Levis? Should Mac Jones be the quarterback over those kind of things? So, and I'm not ready to say that Will Levis is better than Mac
Jones.
Jared
logic is just a fascinating thing to try to try to follow. Are they going to arm wrestle at midfield? This is just a, like, one-on-one QB against QB?
I mean, when Brady played Manning, they didn't arm wrestle at midfield, but it was Brady versus Manning, like the great rivalry.
Uh-huh.
Okay. You know, when Bird played
the next great rivalry in the NFL. Levis,
when Bird played Magic, they guarded each other. So,
right.
But so you see the difference. I'm glad you brought up both things. Thank you. Thank you for bringing up both things.
There were four other players on the court for each team.
Okay.
That's how this works. It's not one-on-one, Joe.
Okay. Oh, thank you. All right. We're getting places with Jared.
We will have the ability – we will have the ability to watch Mac Jones play in a full football game against Will Levis in a full football game. They'll both be playing terrible teams, and I'm not convinced that Levis is better than Mac Jones. So I want to see what they look like this week. Is that crazy?
That sounds great.
Hey, anything to get us to watch this game.
Kidding. Like, I hadn't really talked much about Mac Jones, but now that you mention it, hey, get to watch Mac Jones Sunday.
Well, I mean, you're
making things more exciting.
Think about the available quarterbacks that are going to be out there. Sam Darnold is the top. He's the top option. And again, I still think the Vikings are going to franchise tag him, which means you're going to have to trade for him. And I like Sam Darnold, but again, I mean, I think he's like that kind of Ryan Tannehill quarterback that if you give him the best receiver in football, he's pretty good. So I would steer away from trading the 35th pick in the draft in order to get Sam Darnold. But after that, it's all like, well, you know, Daniel Jones had that one good year, and Mac Jones had that one good year, and Justin Fields hasn't had a good year, but maybe he could be good. And, like, that is the rest of the quarterback market. If Will Levis keeps his job, it's going to be in large part because they couldn't draft one of the two quarterbacks, and all the available quarterbacks other than him stink, and that would be, he would keep it by default. And so if Mac Jones goes out against the Titans and lights him up, I think it's a discussion.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt the free agent market for quarterbacks, other than my guy Jameis, is not great this offseason, no doubt about that. Looking forward to the discussion coming up at 2 o'clock on the two-year anniversary of John Robinson's firing, Jared.
Let me ask this. Are the Titans better off than they were 2 years ago?
I think the answer is no.
But I hope one of your hours today will be finally the full details of your investigation into the plan from Green Bay.
Yes.
Because remember, you spent weeks telling us that that had to be something sinister because some former GM's like, gosh, I guess that plane from Green Bay might have been weird, huh? You're like, but that guy's a former GM. He must know.
Somebody texted to the text line the other day and said they think there were some shenanigans that went on at something. And I mean, look.
Oh, really? Well, look, hey. Reopen the investigation, Jared. Reopen. Scotland Yard is in for business.
It is a better explanation than what seems to be the truth. Which
seems
is,
to be. Oh, we're seems to be the truth.
Well, again, Joe, you've talked to probably some of the same people I've talked to. The people that I've talked to said that that John Robinson's firing 2 years ago was not a rash reaction to A.J. Brown's performance against the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah.
And those are people that, you know, would the New York Times would accept as, you know, hey, in the know. And yet at the same time, just because they told me that doesn't necessarily mean I believe that, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
So what I'm trying to tell you is there may be something more there. I don't know.
Oh, my God.
Just because somebody tells you something.
I brought this up
true.
As a joke.
I know
I'm trying,
you think that.
You're trying to make, I mean, I'm trying to, like, help. I'm joking.
Today at 2:45. Looking forward to it.
God.
Thank you, Jared. Have fun today.
See you guys.
See ya. We'll react to what Jared had to say there.
Actually, now that you mention it.
7-3-7-1-0-2-5. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Are you looking for a great gift to give someone this Christmas season? Well, you should check out some of Nashville's best deals at thegamenashville.com/deals. Right now, you could purchase half off on gift cards for Prince's Hot Chicken, Bavarian Beer House, Fat Bottom Brewing, Teddy's Tavern, Fox Street Lawn Club, and a whole lot more. Just head to thegamenashville.com/deals and check it out. It is the holiday season. Be a very good giver this holiday season, just like we are to you with Jared Stillman joining this program every Friday morning at 7 o'clock.
So, since we just had Jared on, I forget who even was sending these texts, but for the record, this show has not brought up Jared in more than a week. So just throwing it out there because we've been told that we can't possibly do that, which, of course, I know Jared is the biggest. What did he say one time? Like we talked, like 70% of our show is him or something.
He did
like that.
Say that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Another.
I brought him up a couple
another
times.
Another accurate.
He's also said, Robbie and Rexor brought to you by the text line.
He did say that?
Yeah, that's fine. Just saying, you know, for you Jared loyalists out there, you know, we're okay. But we like Jared. He provided some good content for us there. Thank you, Jared.
He did.
We've reopened the investigation.
He did, no doubt. Aaron Brown pointing out, have we talked about the New York Post article titled Jets Play Caller Switch to Todd Downing has yielded very disappointing results? Who could have possibly seen that coming?
Wow. I mean, is it fair to blame Todd Downing, though, for like this? Todd Downing is probably just a passenger on the Titanic, right?
I would assume so.
I think he's the captain.
What do you make of the opportunity that we all have on Sunday to watch Mac Jones play football? And in all seriousness, it's not just Stilly that's thrown that out there. I have seen this week, hey, if you're looking at every option at quarterback this offseason, Mac Jones, when he first came into the league, pretty good rookie year. Not great since then, but did have a pretty good rookie year in New England. Would he be something that you would consider this offseason if you're the Titans?
Well, I agree with Jared about Matt Patricia and all that stuff. Boy, that's actually almost rant-worthy. I don't know if you – Matt Patricia's out there, like, trying to, like
– I saw – on the NFL Network.
I had a real – when I helped start this build of the Lions, let me tell you – yeah, please stop. My God. Just a brutal coach. But, that was just – I mean, that was Belichick, man. And we haven't even gotten to the Belichick, this UNC thing, which is, to me, just ridiculous. But I agree that it was unfair to Mac Jones, messed him up, what was not a good thing for him. Also, like, when I watch him, I don't know, it still seems like he looks more like the player from that year than he does from the rookie year. But –
He did throw for 235 yards and two touchdowns on Sunday against Houston.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he played okay.
Yeah.
He played okay in that game. So I guess it's just a big duel. It's a duel of guys trying to still be relevant, you know, in the NFL, trying to latch on and be starting quarterbacks in the league. I mean,
do you know what Mac Jones' actual name is? I didn't know this until right now. Michael McCorkle Jones.
Really?
I guess McCorkle is where you get Mac.
Okay.
I think I'd go by McCorkle. That's just me. I am McCorkle Jones, and I'm here to kick your butt.
What about Jess McCorkle? Just like the
one name?
If he becomes a great player, then I think he, you know, unleash the McCorkle.
I'm on Pro Football Reference. I probably need to double check that that's real because, you know, they also say Trevor Lawrence's nickname is the Prince Who Was Promised, and I've never heard any human being ever call him that.
And Tom Brady's the Pharaoh.
The Pharaoh, which I love. But, that's what the name says on Pro Football Reference. It says Matt Jones, and under it, Michael McCorkle Jones.
Michael McCorkle Jones. Okay. Yeah, I'm looking.
I'm sold.
I've now.
He's the Titans quarterback next year.
I'm Googling it, and it appears that is true. Michael McCorkle.
What more do you need to see?
Yeah, that's it's a very cool name. It's the coolest thing about him that I know of at this point. So
it is kind of wild. Like his rookie year. So his rookie year, he threw for 3,800 yards, 22 touchdowns, 13 interceptions. Like, you know, he didn't light the world on fire his rookie year, but it was a good rookie season, right? He got to the end of it. I think they made the playoffs that year. They were 10-7. It's like, okay, that's a pretty good start for Mac Jones.
Yeah.
And then for whatever reason after that, it was just bad. Like, you know, 14 touchdowns, 11 picks the next year. 10 touchdowns, 12 picks last year before he ultimately got benched in New England. So a good start that he was not able to build on after that. Now, how much of that is him and just the player that he is, and how much of that is the situation that he was in with New England that clearly, as we're seeing this year, has had a roster deterioration that is still going?
Well, and a lot of what happened that year, I mean, he melted down quite a bit, and I think that probably hurt him. I would count that against him more if it wasn't melting down at Matt Patricia, because it seems like most people who cross paths with him, at least in terms of players, melt down about Matt Patricia at some point. So yeah, it's hard to know. This is a huge opportunity for him, for both these quarterbacks. I don't know that this is going to be a duel we remember years from now, but for both these quarterbacks, like they're in this phase, different situations, but both of them having this opportunity. And if you're Mac Jones and people are expecting you to go play well against the Titans, even though their defensive numbers are pretty good this year, I mean, you should be able to do some stuff. And obviously, like we've talked about, this should be a real opportunity for Will Levis to demonstrate progress.
We did get a question earlier from Dustin in Hopkinsville. He asked a lot of things, but he said, is Sunday's game really a gimme for the Titans? I feel like it's a top three winnable game this year. However, if Mac Jones has any fight in him, he's going to leave it all on the field. I see it going to the wire. And my response is, I don't know that a gimme game exists for the Tennessee Titans in the National Football League. I would not call this a gimme game. And what's the line? I think Titans are 3.5-point favorites, if memory serves me correctly.
That sounds about right. Yeah, there's no... You can't be the 3-9 team and very much deserving of a 3-9 record. It's not a fluky 3-9 record and have a gimme game, I don't think. Unless you just have like an all-time terrible opponent in a given week. And it's not Jacksonville. They were right there. They were right there to beat the Texans, as they have been twice this year, right? Yeah. Two really close games against the Texans.
And the Titans beat the Texans. Not speaking overly well of the Texans right now.
Yeah. It's the AFC South is just a big disappointment, you know?
It is. There's no doubt. 615.
We were so excited about it.
737-1025, our phone number. More of your thoughts on the Titans and the Jags coming up next. We'll have the Rex Rant at 745. TD will be with us at 8 o'clock. All that ahead. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. The Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road coming up here at 745. Teron Davenport will be with us at 8. We'll get into all things Tennessee Titans with him. Taking your thoughts in the meantime, 615-737-1025. We've had People texting in all day asking us about the Colt Anderson comments yesterday. We did play those earlier in the show. I will say it sounds better with the audio clip than it did when you read it on social media, but I totally understand, number one, that he's in a no-win situation, and number two, that Titans fans hear that and say, oh, good. That gives us a lot of confidence with the way that things have gone this year on special
teams. I was assuming guys knew what they were doing.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's always good when you assume.
Yeah. Yeah, right, right. You know, I assume guys knew that, like, special teams involves kicking and punting and tees.
Like, is there a way that they have not totally screwed one up yet on the special teams part of this that we could see that's new on Sunday?
Is there a thing, a part of special teams that they, well, they haven't botched any, like, snaps on
field goal?
On field goal or PATs, right?
Yeah.
So there's one. So speak that one into existence.
There's more out there for this special team.
Sure. They've covered more of the wheel of special teams misery than I've ever seen one team do in an NFL season.
But I'm interested to see who's returning this weekend. I mean, you do have right now a leading vote getter in a Pro Bowl, Jaquan Jackson back there, who keeps fumbling the ball. And you know, Brian Callahan pointed out last week that Tyler Boyd can catch the punt. I don't know if he's overly excited about Tyler Boyd running with the punt, but he can catch the punt. Is Mason Kinsey going to get a look? The People's Champion every August. Is he going to get a look in an actual NFL game this time around? I'm interested to see what they do there at returner this weekend.
Yeah, that's been the assumption kind of, but yeah, it's tough. I mean, because, you know, obviously with Jaquan Jackson, I mean, that's how he's in the NFL. And so when you start making those mistakes, and he's just a rookie, but it can
– get a hole in the ball.
Life can – catch up on you fast in this league. Yeah.
Ask Kyle Phillips.
That's right.
His was a combo of fumbling the ball and injuries, but still.
And not catching it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it is kind of amazing when you think about the run they're on. Like, we thought it was bad with Craig Aukerman. Like, it wasn't that long ago. Craig Aukerman was here, and it was a disaster, and he got the punter killed last year around this time. So it's been a problem around here for a while with special teams, and then it's just gone totally downhill this year, which has led in part to the 3-9 record. So just an absolute smorgasbord of fun to watch this team play football.
And look, the thing about it that I think is a fair thing to point back to is some of the choices. I mean, I think maybe when the roster construction, that may be a mistake here.
Yep.
When you talk about the front office and, you know, the coaches obviously in tandem on that, maybe not having enough, you know, guys who are core special teams guys, but it still doesn't explain some of the ridiculous mistakes we've seen.
Let's go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Adam in Portland. Adam, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, Robbie and Joe. Hey, so we'll probably end up beating the Jags just because we don't need to. And on, like, if you do that, you're probably not going to get back under them again as far as standings and draft position and all that. So we get nothing out of this win, but we'll probably beat them. My problem is that, I want to see with you guys in your history, if you've ever seen the city of Nashville so depleted, like deflated as far as their sports. Because for Vanderbilt to be the hope is pretty bad. And even that magic, like the Alabama magic, has kind of faded a little bit. So I'm just like, I've never been so disconnected with sports, period, dude. Like, everything sucks. I don't even know what to, I guess maybe UT basketball, but how miserable is that in December to be talking about that? So I don't know, dude. Like, I'm just super depressed with sports right now. It's bumming me out.
Yeah, I feel you. Thanks for the call, Adam. I mean, the answer.
Why is it miserable to talk about college basketball? Tennessee's about to be number one in the country in December. The season is happening.
It is.
It's been great so far. Go ahead.
Yeah, I've enjoyed it.
Yeah. I don't know what he's talking about. But no.
I did watch some of the Syracuse game the other night.
See?
Yeah.
It was great.
For about 4 minutes, and I was like, okay, well, this is over. Dark mode jerseys look good. All right, let's go do something else.
Did they? Really? Well, we talked about this. What did we figure out? We figured out that basically if you go back to like 02, right, the 02-03?
Yeah, like the Titans had a down year.
Except the Titans, though. The Titans that year lost to the Raiders in the title game, right?
Well, 02, I can't remember if it was 0. I need to go. I
think they had that one. It was actually 01-02.
Yeah.
Where they the surprisingly down.
They
random
had some injuries and were down.
Yeah.
But it wasn't out. This. Like, this is right. This is different. Like,
it's hard to find hope.
The comparable, I guess, is like 2014. The Titans were really bad. and the Predators missed the playoffs.
Yeah.
But the Predators missed the playoffs. Number one, like Pekka was hurt for like 50 games that year. So it's like,
that did get Barry Trotz fired.
It did get Barry Trotz fired. But they weren't this. Like, this is bottom of the barrel bad for the Predators and a 3-9 football team. I mean, it's not – I mean, right now they're picking 7th in the draft, so it's not like they're the worst. But this combo of both of them being this bad at the same time, I would argue, has never happened before.
Yeah.
Like, that's what we're living through right now.
Yeah. And, again, you talk about hope. If you want to spin it forward to hope, right now it's better with the Titans, which is saying something because I'm not seeing a ton of it. But, like, just because of the NFL and what you can do in the NFL and what you can't do in the NHL.
Yeah. I mean, it's think about having that conversation 2 months ago. We'll get to December and we'll feel better about the direction of the Titans than the Predators. I still think it's close. But to your point, like, there's at least like a conceivable way out right now for the Titans. And the way that this fit has gone with all the new pieces and the money you've paid if you're the Predators, like, a lot of those contracts are locked in. We've talked about it. It's tough to if they're not going to play better. Have to find your way out of this if you're the Predators.
Yeah, the only answer they have is please, players that we are going to be paying, somehow find a way to play better. The Titans can change players.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, we still get a lot of participation on our show, a lot of people weighing in every day, which we are greatly appreciative of. But we fully recognize, like, right now, to be a sports fan in this city, it sucks. Like, it's a bad time right now to be a pro sports fan in the city. I mean, think about, Joe, like, if you're that combo of a Titans, Preds, and a Vols fan, or a Titans, Preds, and Vandy fan. Like, at least if you're a Vandy fan, you've got the basketball team off to a good start. You've got a football season that went better than anybody expected. If you're a Vols fan, you've got what's going to be, I think, the number one basketball team in the country coming up, a football team that's going to be in the college football playoffs. So you've got that stuff to, like, distract you right now. Think if you didn't have that. And you're just like a pro sports fan,
yeah,
and you don't really care about college sports. Miserable right now.
Baseball national championship team.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, if you're a, I don't know. Well, this is a combo that's actually pretty common in the city. If you're a the Titans, Preds, Auburn fan. Now, granted,
is that a big thing?
Yeah, I think there's quite. I mean,
there's
a few
quite
Auburn,
a few. There's quite a few SEC fans in general here, just from everywhere.
Yeah. I mean, I know some Auburn. You know who. Are fans of the local pro teams. Those, of course, they do have a great men's basketball
team.
They do. So there you go. Scott from Shelbyville says the Titans need to lose this game. All you do is you better pick all that. If you think you as a player are making your case for staying on the roster for next year by having a good game against the Jaguars, you are mistaken. So, Scott, you're saying that the Titans players and coaches who are all absolutely fighting for jobs in the NFL, they should lose this game. So you get a better draft pick.
Yeah.
Again, I get you wanting it to happen. That's fine.
Right.
Do you really think that any of the people in that building are doing anything but desperately trying to win every game they can win? I hope not. I hope you don't think that.
Got one text that says, bro, the Titans are rebuilding. We knew this. We just traded for good people and y'all thought we'd go sub-500. We are rebuilding. Go Titans. That is not true. Like, I don't know why this, like, lie has creeped in. They were not rebuilding. They went out and spent more money than anybody else in free agency. It's not a rebuilding team at that point.
Yeah.
They have a young quarterback.
It wasn't supposed to be a contending team. But, again, yeah, here and every market in this league, other than here and there, you'll have the team where everybody knows, okay, it's just this is like a 1 year you have to be terrible. But every market in this league, it's like, what's the path to the playoffs? And basically, you can talk yourself into, on paper, having a chance to make the playoffs in the Titans. Absolutely. Did things this offseason to be in the playoffs this year.
I must have missed the rebuilding announcement from the Titans.
No,
I don't think we saw that.
Revisionist puffery.
Jackson on the text line. Going through these awful times are what's going to make it even sweeter when they finally win a Super Bowl or a Stanley Cup one day. That's a good way to look at it. Glass half full from Jackson on the text line. He cites the Lions. He's like, look at the Lions. They're 12-1. They got as good of a chance as anybody to win the Super Bowl this year, and that place is, as you well know, starved for a winner.
That is true. Now, you go back to You know, you go back to the very worst times of the Lions and when they had yet another regime come in. And the one difference, there are a lot of differences, but one difference is pretty quickly you saw, wow, look at all these draft picks from this class. And wow, look at all these draft picks from this class.
Yeah.
And that's, we're not seeing enough of that with these guys.
I got one text that says, at what point will Adam from Portland submit his resume to Cromwell Media? The guy calls in several times a day. Just give him an hour already. Together at cromwellmedia.com.
The Adam
if
hour?
Like to do that.
Send that in. What, do we know he hasn't? I mean, I don't go through them all. I don't get the stuff that goes to that email.
We'll have to look into it.
Give Adam an hour.
615-737-1025, our phone number. The Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad coming up next. Teron Davenport will be with us at 8 o'clock. All that ahead. Robbie and Rexroad, 1025-1063, the game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment. Let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
I thought it was an arrogant fan that wanted to get in part of the action. And just, I would like to see security or something step in there and get him out of there.
I was assuming guys knew what they were doing.
Hearing skills that some of you have sometimes on the text line. It boggles my mind.
The horse is prepared for battle, but victory comes from the Lord. So I'm depending on the Lord.
It is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning here on the program.
No deliver me from pick sixes? That would have been perfect right there. Well, today, we don't have to spend too much time on this, but this is something I've been holding on to for, well, exactly a week, actually. Exactly a week. We had a nice Thanksgiving. We had everybody, you know, had the oldest in with his girlfriend. That was an interesting parent weekend for us. Like, oh wow, the college girlfriend having the courage to come and hang out with our interesting family.
God bless her.
We hit. Yep. Shout out to Nicole. She did a great job. We played euchre. We taught her euchre. It was great. But we went to Wicked, which is good. You know, if you've seen the play, I think the play is fantastic. The movie, they're unfortunately breaking into two parts, but they did a really good job with it. It was good. But I might need to go see it again. I know Katie needs to go see it again because, so we sat, you know, in this row, whatever, I guess it would have been six of us? Yeah. And then right in front of us, there was a woman and four children, four very, very young children. Who did nothing but scream, laugh, yell, and like just come. I've never seen anything like this. I've seen a lot of stuff in theaters, okay?
Yeah.
Like it was actually a freaking daycare in this theater. And I'm trying to understand this woman, I assume mom or grandmother, I'm not sure, but like, I'm trying to understand why you are spending. Movies aren't cheap.
Yeah.
It's not cheap to go to a movie. Like, I get, like, okay, maybe these kids are driving me crazy. Let's go do something. And, like, sitting in a theater where they're disrupting the whole theater where you can't possibly be watching the movie. They're not watching the movie. They're just messing everybody else's night up.
Yeah.
And you spent that money for that? To ruin our night. Again, I was fine. There was one kid in particular who was mostly the youngest one who was probably, like, 2.5 or something.
Good.
Oh yeah, no, just like bah, 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 the whole night, and then directly in front of Katie, and so you know it's like a couple times I'm like, Katie, don't say anything.
All of Nashville just drove off the road with you doing that right there. That's good.
Sorry, but I'm like, Katie, don't, because Katie would, you like, you know, she would do this like, thank you, you know, like
I forget, in trouble.
At one point, she said something like, seriously? But it wasn't like this. I mean, it's like, you can't confront. What are you going to do? You're not going to get in a fight in the theater? I mean, of course, that was never going to happen. Like, you can't, like, go up there and be like, ma'am, would you please shut up? You know? So it just kind of, every once in a while, I was sort of making a noise like, oh, my gosh. And I don't know how much, I mean, I was still able to watch the movie, listen. I was very distracted by this, but, yep. Like, I was far enough away from the youngest one who was like, ma'am, 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 the whole time. That I was able to still digest the movie. Like, I mean, Katie's actually, I think, going tonight with some of her friends so she can actually watch it.
View it, yes.
Yeah. So, yeah. Just explain to me, because again, I've seen, you know, a lot of things in theaters. Okay, but explain to me, you have a bunch of little kids. You want to do something with the kids. They're probably bothering you, and it's like, going into a theater, and then they were constantly also like leaving, going to the bathroom, coming back and forth. No chance any of them watched the movie.
Yeah.
Everybody else got messed up, and you paid like, I don't know. I know kids' prices are cheaper, but what'd you pay? Or five, so an adult and like four kids, and it's still how much money?
Like plus 70 had, bucks?
Yeah.
Plus concessions?
Right. Then, yeah, they pop and stuff, of course. Of course, let's give them some sugar so they can be even more hopped up. It's just, I've never seen anything like it. So don't ever do it again.
Rex Road hates children. Confirmed here on the program this morning at 7:51 a.m.
Pretty much. We didn't know that already?
Here's the big question that I would have in this situation. As you're planning this out, if you're this lady, you know, isn't this movie, you know, my wife went and saw it this weekend. And she says it's like 2 hours and 45 minutes long.
Yeah, it's pretty long. Yes.
What child on the earth is going to sit in the movie theater, particularly, you know, a young child under the age of five, for 2 hours and 45 minutes? Probably not going to happen very often. I've yet to meet those children that can do that for that long.
No. And again, like one of them, it wouldn't have mattered if it was a 10-minute Mickey Mouse movie. Like, it would have been like just he didn't care. Yeah, the other ones, a little older, and, you know, for the most part, they were, if it was just them, it would have been okay, like 5-7-year-old, you know, right in that range. A little bit of talking, but okay, fine. You said, yeah, the little one is like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, it's just, yeah.
Alex on the text line says, you go tell an usher. If you can find one, they'll get people to settle down or leave. Could have got him kicked out there, Joe.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess, yeah.
But then you're missing the movie to go find the usher.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose. Could have gone and tattled on him. Could have gone and told on him.
There are people that want you to fight on the text line.
Okay. Now I'm getting corrected now. Katie keeps threatening your rant. This could have been your rant, Katie. She said five children and that he was four. Okay. And she said, she didn't say seriously. She said, that's right. She said, please.
That's even better.
Yeah, please.
For the love of God, stop talking.
Oh, man.
See, this is
anyway, I enjoyed the movie. So.
This is why I have a general rule that on holiday weekends, I don't go. I'm not going to the theater.
Interesting.
I'll go on like a Tuesday at 2 o'clock.
Just because they're so packed?
Yeah.
But see, like a great movie, like if you go see, and I don't even remember when it came out, but like a packed theater can be awesome.
It can, yeah.
You know, what's the last Marvel?
Avengers.
Yeah, Endgame. Yeah. That was awesome. Packed theater, the whole play, you know, cheering and all that at the right times. And yeah, it was great,
yeah.
You know? But hey, what are you saying?
I did go.
I've gone a lot. We usually do. We usually do go at some point in Thanksgiving weekend, and I've never had this before.
I did go watch Harry Potter one night. I think it was the sixth one at the midnight premiere back when they used to do those things. And got sat next to this lady that was like full on witch costume. And there's a character, spoiler alert, that dies in that movie, and she's over here just sobbing. And like I'm thinking to myself. Like, I mean, uncontrollably. Like, nobody could, like, it's bad. And I'm thinking, so you've dressed up. You've clearly, you know, read these books. You not know that person's about to die.
Right.
This is take you by surprise here.
Okay. Right, right.
All right, yeah. Just checking.
Wow. Did you console her at all?
No, I just tried to, like, I mean.
What a gentleman.
I mean, just, like, having to catch her breath in between sobs when this character died. And I was like, it's 3 a.m. and this woman is over here in a witch costume just sobbing uncontrollably next to me. What do I do?
Oh, man.
For what it's worth, I went to the movie last weekend. We went to one theater in Mount Juliet, and we got there, and we were in line getting our tickets. And then we get up to the stand, and they said, well, we sold all of our seats. And I was like, what are we in line for, man? You can't even announce it? Like, come on. And then we had to go over to Lebanon.
Welcome to the front of the line.
Yeah.
Got nothing for you.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, dude. Appreciate you. Let's go.
It's turned into a show-wide theater rant. I like it.
Yeah. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Teron Davenport will be with us coming up next. We'll get into the Titans and the Jags with him. This is Robbie Rexroot, 1025-1063, The Game.